Welcome to another broadcast of Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails in to dj@artistfirst.com. All past shows can be downloaded free and on demand at the Artist First website. Now let's take an honest look at college football in America today. Here's your hosts, Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Well, week five is complete, and as usual, there were some things we didn't expect and some things right on cue. We're going to take a look at what happened in week five, some things that surprised us. We're going to take a look at some other issues in college football. Again, I'm joined by my dad. Dad, kick it off. What is it that you noticed this week in college football?
Well, you mentioned some things about what we expected and what we didn't expect. Well, very obviously, in the top 15 ranking, we expected three of those teams to lose because three of the top 15 played three other teams in the top 15. Now, number eight, Nebraska got whacked. Virginia Tech got whacked by Clemson. Florida got whacked by Alabama. However, the surprises were South Carolina getting beat. Listen to this. Texas A&M got beat, and Baylor got beat. However, right, those three teams in the top 15 got beat by a total of 8 points, which was absolutely amazing. So we have six teams in the top 15 that got beat in week five.
Right, and eight out of the top 25 also lost. And as you mentioned, you know, we had those matchups of teams against each other, and it's great that, you know, really, we talked about it last week on the show, that this is the first full week of complete conference play, and it's amazing that there's so many powerful teams within the conferences. You know, I know we talk about, you know, the SEC being powerful, but if you look at some of the matchups you had in even the Big Ten, you had a couple ranked teams. And it's amazing that these games continue to pop up. And, you know, as we talked about it, you know, that's the difference in college football. Everything seems to be, you know, sort of a one-week sudden death. What else is it that kind of caught your eye?
Yeah, there were a couple things that caught my eye. I think one of the highlights for me was Auburn holding Marcus Lattimore to 69 yards, yeah, and they turn around and beat South Carolina by 3 points. So that, you know, that took care of South Carolina, that was ranked number 10. And another interesting thing happened that I noticed, as Utah State was playing BYU, a BYU player was running across the end zone and gets racked with two forearms by a Utah State player, and an official immediately ejected the Utah State player. And I thought that was an excellent call. And the announcer, he disagreed with me. But I think we're in a position in college football where we have to draw the line and start making calls like that to keep some civility in the game. So I thought it was an excellent call. I disagree with the announcer.
Well, and you know, that kind of brings up a good point. And we talked last week about, you know, the debacle in Syracuse with the Toledo thing and the field goal. And you know, the officiating is good and bad, and I hate to keep harping on it because I know that there's some human error. But just like you mentioned with the guy from BYU getting laid out yesterday in the Illinois-Northwestern game, Illinois linebacker Jonathan Brown, after a play, blatantly knees another lineman from the other team in the groin. Now, a flag was thrown, so the official had to see it, and he was assessed a personal foul. Now, you could even argue, even though I completely agree with you about the BYU play Friday night, but how do you throw a guy out, because the play you were discussing earlier was sort of the heat of the moment, even though it did get out of control and he threw the forearm. But to walk up to a guy after the whistle's blown and knee him in the groin, how does that guy not get tossed out of the game? And you just kind of wonder how these decisions are being made. I saw a game a couple years ago where a team was attempting to win the game with a field goal, and the field goal was blocked, and as the ball was spinning helplessly on the turf, nobody from the field goal team was running over to make an attempt. The team that blocked it ran on the field and were assessed a celebration penalty, marched off 15 yards, kicked the game-winning field goal, and won. And you understand the letter of the law, but you wonder about the spirit of the rule. And I just still see some inconsistencies in the way the game is being officiated.
How about when you and I are sitting there and we're watching teams, either teams we're rooting for or teams we're rooting against, a quarterback is running, a defensive lineman is chasing him, and one of the offensive linemen tackles him 2 yards away from the official, and there's no flag thrown. I mean,
right.
That's worked against us, for us, but the officials are standing right there. How could they ignore that? And we see that constantly on television games, for which we have no preference, don't care who wins, but you and I jump up when we see guys being tackled who are chasing quarterbacks, and an official is standing 2 yards away from them.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And you just wonder what is going through their head. Again, I know that there's human error, but I think it just needs to be given a closer look. But let's get on to something else that's a little more positive as far as college football is concerned. You know, there were some top performers this week, and again, it started Thursday night. How about Ray Graham, the way he ran the ball? And again, they're calling Pitt's win over South Florida an upset. But when you win 44-17, I hardly call that an upset. What'd you think about that performance?
Well, the thing that impressed me the most was the coaching and the discipline of that Pitt football team compared to last year. I'm not right. knocking Wanasack, but that team that night was a playbook for all teams to follow. I'm going to tell you, based on that performance, Pitt is ready for the ACC if they continue the year the way they played the other night against South Florida.
Yeah, yeah. And then there were some other great performances. You know, Matt Barkley from USC throws for a school record 468 yards. Illinois receiver A.J. Jenkins, 12 catches for 268 yards. Trent Richardson, we'll talk about Alabama, 181 yards. And, you know, that kind of brings up, you know, you mentioned about these teams that are, you know, the top 25 teams, and you kind of went over the highlights. You look at why, you know, LSU is so strong. They're number one, and Oklahoma number two. And, again, in the polls, they're Oklahoma, LSU, Alabama. You could flip-flop those three and not have any argument for me, even throw in Boise State. But even in this day and age, in offenses that are high-flying, you still got to be able to do two things. You got to be able to play defense, and you got to be able to run the ball.
Outstanding comment. Speaking of defense, how about Auburn holding Marcus Lattimore to 69 yards, and they beat South Carolina 16-13? Go ahead, Rock. I think I interrupted you.
Well, you know, and that, again, some of these teams that we're not expecting to step up, you know, are stepping it up with defense. I mean, who would have thought that Nebraska would only score 17 points? You know, and again, there's the difference between Wisconsin and Nebraska with playing defense and not. And you know, you just look at some of these teams that are stepping up and doing real well. And again, it's about defense. You know, you mentioned Auburn. You know, South Carolina comes in with this high-flying offense. Latimer, who was my Heisman favorite a couple weeks ago, you know, he's held. Stephen Garcia, who's a good quarterback, good leader, played for, you know, started for a couple years for South Carolina. He's 9-for-22. And you know, same thing with what Clemson did to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's been known for the last 15 years as a high-flying offense, going all the way back, you know, to the days when they had, you know, great quarterback play. And they score 3 points.
Right.
You know.
So, and how about outstanding for me was number 20, TCU, which is now 3-2. They had their 22-game home-winning streak come to an end with a 40-33 overtime loss to unranked SMU. That's football. You never know week to week what's going to happen, who's going to play, who's not going to play, who's going to show up, who's going to stay on the bus.
Well, and you know, that kind of brings us to our next, you know, little segment here, a little look at the standings. I mean, you know, let's look at, for instance, you know, in the Big East, you got some teams starting to rise up a little bit. I mean, again, you know, it looked like after week one we'd be talking about South Florida, but, you know, Pitt is playing well. Who would have ever thought that in the Big Ten, you know, the division leaders, along with Wisconsin, who we knew would be strong, and Michigan State, who we knew would be strong, are also Michigan in the Legends division, and Illinois, of all teams, and Penn State, even though Penn State looked a little shaky.
You're right. You know, my surprise in the Big Ten is Michigan. Now, on November 19th, they play Nebraska at home. So I don't know how challenged Michigan's going to be up to that point, but on that day, we'll find out how good they really are.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you still have, you know, you look at the SEC, and, you know, Florida already has a conference loss. Georgia has a conference loss. You know, and it's almost like the SEC this year is one-sided, because in the East, you have everybody with a loss. And in the West, you have three teams that arguably could be three of the absolute best five teams in the country, in Alabama, LSU, and Auburn. So, you know, an Arkansas team that we thought we'd be talking about is still 4-1, but they have a conference loss. So, again, you never know, and it's just funny how we'll see how things play out, but they certainly look to be formulating to be a surprise year all the way around.
What's amazing is in the SEC East, there's no one ranked in the top 15. You know,
right.
Florida's number 17, South Carolina's number 18, and they play on November 12th. So we'll see what happens in that side of the ball. But I don't think there's any question about it. Someone from the West is going to take it all.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Now, how about you know, we just kind of really quickly touched base on our Heisman rundown. Your ranking still the same?
I haven't changed. You know, yesterday Trent Richardson from Alabama had 29 carries, 181 yards against an undefeated Florida. You know, Alabama won 38-10. We'll see what happens on November 5th when Alabama plays LSU, and on November 26th when Alabama plays Auburn. But I'm right at this point in time, I'm throwing in an unexpected Russell Wilson, quarterback from Wisconsin. You know, Nebraska, with Bo Pelini, always plays great defense, win, lose, or draw. This Russell Wilson tore him apart.
Oh, yeah.
255 yards and running for one touchdown in South. Now, the problem he has, they play Indiana, Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue, Minnesota, and Penn State. What could he prove beating those teams? And with high statistics against those teams. Whereas Trent Richardson, he's got to play. He's got to play LSU. He's got to play Alabama. So even though he's, you know, he's my favorite, and I like to throw in Russell Wilson, but I don't know how he'd have a chance or what he has to prove.
Well, you know, it seems, as we talked before, you know, the Heisman seems to be two things. Number one, it seems to be a quarterback award lately. And number two, you got to win. I mean, you go back to the 60s, the last time a guy was on a losing team, so that isn't going to happen. And even with two or three losses, they seem to pin the blame. I mean, look, we're talking about, you know, Latimer being the difference or not being the difference in South Carolina's loss. So, you know, you look at, you know, Richardson stepping up. And right now, you got to look at, you know, Andrew Luck and Stanford's playing well, and Kellen Moore, obviously, we're going to talk about Boise State all year, and even Robert Griffin at Baylor, you know, if they keep winning. So, obviously, we're going to talk about Russell Wilson some more because we're going to talk about Wisconsin some more. Well, hey, we're up against our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some things we learned this week and some things we still don't know. So please stay with us. We're going to be right back after this short break. You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on artistfirst.com.
Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being all-world, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Nate from Million Proof. Be sure to check us out on October 3rd, 7 p.m. For those of you who haven't heard us before, we're playing a couple tracks off our EP and maybe even throwing a new track for you right here on the Artist First Network Radio. Set it backwards!
Get proofed at millionproof.com.
When tornadoes raked the South, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. As communities lay in ruins, it was the hams who let their families know their loved ones were safe. When the power and cell phones went out, the hams were there, helping rescuers get the message through. Wherever catastrophes strike, amateur radio is ready. Amateur radio works when other communications don't. Contact the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, on the web at emergencyradio.org. That's emergencyradio.org.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Welcome back, and speaking of emails, we have a few to answer. And again, we want to thank those fans who have continued to send us arguments, questions, comments, anything you want. We'll take care of it. If you disagree with us, that's great. You have questions for us, we'll do the best we can. We're just a couple fans enjoying the game. Dad, you got a few emails, I believe.
Well, I have a couple. One is very interesting. I got it in the middle of the week. It's a two-part question. It's from Phil Polanyi of Texas, of all places. And realizing this was sent to me in the middle of the week, first part is easy. The second part, I'm going to have you handle, Rock. He says, what are Luke Fickell's chances of being the Ohio State University coach next year? Easy answer. The second one would have been questionable at the beginning of the year. Now it remains debatable. Can Ohio State win 9 games this year? That's your question, Rock. Waiting for your answer.
All right. Well, first of all, I right away, Luke Fickell was put in a tough situation, almost a no-win situation for him. You're left with a hole at the most important position on the field, quarterback. Yep. Left by a three-year starter. The reins are to be turned over between a senior that left the game of football, or a true freshman, or a redshirt sophomore who hadn't seen much playing time. You also have some other kids suspended. I think the whole attitude of the team and the surrounding university attitude was one of a little hesitancy. So, short of running the table, I don't think Luke Fickell's given much of a chance. That being said, he gets a lot of endorsements for the type of person he is. Mark D'Antonio, in his press conference, I believe Wednesday, the first thing he said was, before I begin my press conference, I want to tell you, I coached Luke Fickell. I coached with Luke Fickell. He's a good coach, and he should be given a chance to be the Ohio State head coach. He's also been given some great endorsements by some other fellow players and former players that played with him. All that being said, I don't think he has a chance. You agree?
I agree totally. Ohio State wants a name as their head coach. Luke Fickell, nicest guy on the globe. He's in a parallel of persona of Coach Tressel, you know, quiet, unassuming, not braggadocious, and all of those characteristics. But to be the coach at Ohio State, you have to win, and you have to win a lot. And I don't think he's going to cut it, and it's really not his fault. The circumstances you mentioned are just overwhelming, so he's up against it. Now the second question.
Second question.
Could they win nine games?
No chance. No chance. Not with the offense the way it's playing. How do you go in? They really got shut out. They scored. Their 7 points was scored with 10 seconds left in the game. They had barely 100 yards total offense. It looked anemic against two average defenses. I know Michigan State's ranked in the top one or two in the country, but those numbers were against terrible, terrible offenses. Miami, Florida shown to be an average football team, even though they were the better team that night. Ohio State still got to play Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan now.
Illinois.
Yeah, they don't have a chance. Unfortunately, those things all go into part of the first question about Coach Fickell's fate. How about your next email?
You know, this is really an opinionated question, and it's very interesting. You know how you and I love college football? Yeah. Well, I have a Frank DeCenzo of Canfield, Ohio, who asks, with all the misbehaving of college players, coaches, alumni, and administrations, why should I, after being a college football fan all my life, stay as its big a fan? How would you answer a person like that?
That's easy. You got high-profile programs that are causing some problems. And on those high-profile programs, when there's only, if you really, really look at the problem this year, you could probably name the issues on one hand. And within those programs, the cause of the issues is 4, 5, 6 kids out of 100. You take into account there are 120 Division I teams, hundreds of Division II teams, and hundreds of Division III teams. The amount of issues that we're calling negative probably results, I would say, in the neighborhood of barely 1%, if even that, of the student athletes in college football. So again, you don't want to make a blanket statement when you have some upstanding coaches and some fine players, and even within these programs, who are the so-called programs with issues, again, we're only talking about 4, 5, 6 kids out of 100. So that's the way I would answer that. I'd say look at those kids that are doing the right things. Look at those kids that are graduating and becoming doctors. Look at those kids that are graduating and becoming coaches. Look at those kids that are graduating and going on to the NFL. So that's the way I'd answer that. How about you?
Well, my big thing is, you know, if you pick up the paper and you, a college athlete in football gets in a bar fight, it's in the paper. If he beats his girlfriend, it's in the paper. Now, on the other hand, we saw an outstanding game the other night when Pitt played South Florida. I mean, that was just a record book performance. It was an outstanding game, even though it was a little lopsided. I came home, Rock, and looked at three newspapers. I could not find a write-up on that game. So, you know, we throw out the trash to the public and the good things that are happening, like coaches who are taking care of ex-players who have been paralyzed, of a gentleman like Joe Paterno welcoming a sister of a friend of mine whose daughter wrote to Joe and said that my mother would love to meet you. And Joe Paterno responded by saying, tell her to be here, and he gave her a date and a time. And all those good things you don't read in the paper. All you read is, Frank, are the bar fights and the beating of girlfriends and all the good things that the coaches do and the players do are totally neglected. For instance, it's on a pro level, but the San Francisco 49ers were in town this week. And guess where they spend most of their time? In the local hospitals. So those are the caliber of things that we don't read. Now, if a 49er were in town here and got into a bar fight, that would make the newspapers all over the country. The fact of the matter that the 49ers were visiting very ill children in hospitals, and college teams do it too, that would not make the headline news. So, Frank, I urge you, jump back in. It's the greatest sport on the globe.
Well, and again, you look at the, you know, yesterday, the featured player in the Ohio State University program was punter Ben Buchanan, who last spring missed some school along with his brother to travel with his dad to, I believe, South America. His dad's a doctor, to tend to families that couldn't afford medical care. And in the article, it also talks about the strong, strong faith-based family that Ben is a part of. Those things don't get in the paper.
And they certainly wouldn't get in the Sports Illustrated.
Absolutely not. So, you know, trash sells newspapers. It sells magazines. That's what they're going to continue to report on. So, as you said, you know, if you're a college football fan, you got to love it. Look at the matchups. Well, let's move on. You know, this is a segment where we look at what we've learned and what we still don't know. Dad, what do you think? What do you think we learned this week?
Well, I have a couple things. You know, thus far, you know, I'm a fan of Michigan's Denard Robinson. You know, I know they played Minnesota, but they still scored 58 points. And we're going to see how good he is down the road. On Michigan's schedule, amongst other teams, they have Michigan State, they have Illinois, they have Nebraska. So I think he's a good player. I think the team has improved considerably over the last year. We're going to find out just how good they are and especially how good he is when they play those three teams. Now, most importantly, we learned that the top four are the top four.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it.
Exactly.
Oklahoma State, number five, did not play. And I asked myself the question this morning, what are we going to do with Wisconsin? Well, I go look at the rankings. Wisconsin ranked number seven last week, has jumped to number four. I don't know why they dropped Boise State to number five. Oklahoma State is number six. But we learned that the top four are the top four, and we learned that the SEC West is tough conference.
Yeah, and that's I agree with you. That's one of the things I think we know for sure now. Wisconsin could play for the national championship. They're loaded. I mean, let's face it, LSU and Alabama are going to play each other. Wisconsin looks to be winning their side of the conference, and I don't know. I still think they're going to play Nebraska again. Oklahoma's got some tough games down the road. But you look at Wisconsin's schedule, and you know what? Quite frankly, I don't care what their schedule says. They run the ball. Wilson, again, is stepping in. Interestingly enough, for the rest, as it is right now, and again, we're only week five, the only ranked team that Wisconsin plays the rest of the year is number 19, Illinois, and I still think by the time they play them in November, they won't be ranked. So the way it looks, I don't see how Wisconsin is going to lose a game. So I completely agree with you to the point of they could be playing for all the marbles. What else? What else you learn?
Well, let me dwell on Wisconsin. You know, not only did they beat Nebraska well, and Nebraska known for their defense, they are so well coached. They are so big, and they scored all those points, and their defense is just unbelievable.
Right.
And that's about all that I paid attention to for the weekend. But,
well, but
it became very interesting.
You mentioned something else, and that's another thing I think we learned. I think Clemson convinced some people this week. Neither you or I had them beating Virginia Tech. I honestly thought Virginia Tech was going to take it to them. And again, on the road, Clemson drilled them. I mean, again, held them to 3 points at Virginia Tech. And so the last 3 weeks, Clemson has beat Auburn, who I still think may be one of the top 10 teams in the country, Florida State, who has fallen a little bit but is still a solid football team, and on the road against Virginia Tech. So I think Clemson convinced some people. I think they are a team that's one of those surprise teams. So, you know, those are some things I think we learned. How about some things we still don't know? What do you think in that area?
Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know about these conferences. I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to let you take care of that, Rock. I don't know which conferences are predominant. You take that. Go ahead.
Well, I one of the things I still, and you mentioned earlier, I don't know if we know how good Michigan is yet. I think they're right now they're second in the country in points allowed, which shows you they're playing some defense. And I think they're 25th in the country in points scored and 7th in the country in rushing. So I don't know how good they are. I think they're better. And so we'll see. The other thing, and again, you mentioned this earlier, you know, Pitt, after a couple heartbreaking losses, one to Iowa and one to Notre Dame, I think Pitt's a good football team. You know, I think they're fun to watch. And so, you know, that's one of the things I think we got to look at is there's a couple teams, you know, we still don't know, you know, how good they are.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's one. Their offense is getting in gear. They could run the table, really. I mean, you know, they in the last couple of years have been taking some hits in the media, but they're really playing well. Oklahoma State, they got to be the quietest 4-0 team in the country. You know, I mean, we keep talking about them just barely because, oh, Oklahoma State, but, you know, they're going to make some noise. So, you know, there's some teams, one West Virginia. I mean, you got to look at, you know, West Virginia's lost one game. You know, they're playing well. I still think Auburn's in it. Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's 5-0, like Michigan. So we got these teams, and we just don't know yet. And I think as we, you know, 3-4 weeks from now, we're going to be talking about them. But that remains to be seen. Well, hey, we're going to take one more break. When we get back, we're going to take a look ahead to the big games coming up. So please hang with us. It's our final timeout. We'll be right back. You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on artistfirst.com.
Sounds good.
Clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Well, during our last segment each week, we take a look at the big games that are going to really have an impact on some things that are happening in college football. And, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, the ranked teams, even though that happens. You know, obviously we take a look at some interesting matchups or some matchups we thought may be a certain way but have changed. So that's what we're going to do this last segment. The first game that kind of sticks out is Florida-LSU. Florida's going to play at LSU. How do you see that playing out?
Well, Florida's first real competition was Alabama, and they lost by 20-28. And LSU, of course, had an easy time with Kentucky. Last year, LSU won by 4 at Florida. They're at home this year. LSU's going to win by at least 14 points.
Yeah, that's the way I see that. You know, again, you know, when we talk about LSU, talk about, you know, even this last week, we want to look at the big, big offensive numbers. LSU's defense is big and fast and nasty. So, you know, I think they're going to start now. Again, the SEC's a meat grinder, but I think LSU wins big. And I like Florida. I think Florida's a well-coached team. I think Florida's going to make some noise. I think they're going to rise in the polls after this week. I mean, they're number 17, and they're arguably, you know, after this week, they could have lost the two best teams in the country. And that's a shame that, you know, you got that, but they're a good football team, but I think LSU wins big. Next, we got the Red River Shootout, Oklahoma and Texas. Every year they play this at a neutral site. And how do you see this playing out?
Well, you know, last year it was very close. This year Oklahoma had a tune-up, scored 62 points this week. Texas really hasn't played anyone. They did play Brigham Young, and they had trouble. They beat Brigham Young 17-16. I see unusually Oklahoma big this year. I think they'll beat Texas pretty good. Oklahoma's a good team.
Yeah, they are. They are a good team, but I think it's going to be a little closer. I think they do win. I think they pull away, but I wouldn't be surprised if early on, you know, it's a game of emotion. This game is a game of emotion. It's very similar to a lot of the November rivalry games that we see. I think Texas comes out with a lot of emotion. They play well. They do have a good passing game with Colt McCoy's brother and the younger Shipley. And Oklahoma does have a little bit of trouble defending the pass. So I think Texas may keep it close by throwing the ball. But I think ultimately, as you mentioned, Oklahoma's too strong.
And then another thing about Oklahoma, one game a year, they scare the dickens out of you.
Yeah,
the game they should win, and either don't win or it's unusually close. And this could be the game this year. Who knows?
Well, a lot of times it is this game because of the neutral site. I mean, the stadium, it's great to watch. If you get a chance, the game's on ABC, and tune in because literally they slice the stadium down the middle, and half of it will be red, and half of it will be burnt orange, and it's amazing the setup of this. So it's really an interesting game, and I think for some reason I just think Texas is going to hang for a while. They got an outside chance of winning, but I think ultimately Oklahoma pulls away. They're a good football team. You know, another, like I mentioned, you know, a game with one team that's disappointingly low-ranked and one team that's not ranked, I still think it's going to be a good football game, is Miami at Virginia Tech. What do you think?
Well, you know, Miami lost to Maryland. Miami lost to Kansas State. Now, recently, Virginia Tech was surprised by Clemson, but then who hasn't been? So I just think uncharacteristically, Miami is bad. And I think Virginia is going to handle them big. They're just too good. Too good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, number one, it's on the road, and Miami has not played well on the road. They beat an Ohio State team that we've learned in recent weeks that is below average at best. I think Virginia Tech is still a fast team. Miami's getting better, no doubt about it. I think Coach Golden has them headed in the right direction. I think they're a couple years away. Again, even against Ohio State and certainly some of the other games, Ja'Cory Harris still has that tendency to throw the ball in bad locations and give his defense a tough situation as far as where the field position is. I think that happens. I think Virginia Tech forces some turnovers, and I think they win pretty handily. And again, next we're going to take a look at a couple teams that are – it, by their standards, and really the next two games we're going to talk about by their standards. Who would have thought, you know, in recent years this could have been a top five matchup, and we're looking at Iowa at Penn State, and neither team is ranked. What do you think about that?
Well, Rock, you took the words right out of my mouth. 10 years ago, you're talking about Iowa. Nobody even talks about them anymore. Poor Joe Paterno. Nobody talks about him or Penn State anymore. However, you know, Penn State is 4-1. Iowa's 3-1. Penn State has Matt McGloin. He's a decent quarterback, but you know, Iowa had a week off, and with their 3-1 record, you know, they did beat Pitt, and they're lucky they didn't play Pitt Thursday night because Pitt was a machine Thursday night. However, Iowa did beat them. I'm looking for Iowa to beat Penn State and Joe Paterno.
All right. I don't think Iowa's that very good. And, you know, they barely beat Pitt at home. They lost to Iowa State on the road, an Iowa State team that's not very good. Happy Valley is a tough place to play. Penn State does have some problems on offense. They didn't score very many against a weak Indiana team. But I think Penn State's playing better. And I tell you, no matter where Joe Paterno is when he's coaching, whether he's on the sidelines or in the press box or in the parking lot, the guy can still instill in his team that attitude that we can win. I think Penn State's going to beat some teams in the Big Ten they shouldn't. They may lose a game or two that they shouldn't. But I think they're going to win a close football game. I do think, you know, Iowa's decent, but I still think they're down by their standards, and I think Penn State wins a close one. Again, same thing with this next game. I thought, you know, a year ago, if you'd have circled this game on the schedule, you'd have swore that it would have been two top 10 teams, if not two top 5 teams, and you got one team that's absolutely struggling on offense to find its identity. You got another team that's coming off an absolute beating and is out of the top 10. We're looking at Ohio State at Nebraska. What do you think?
Ohio State, Nebraska?
Yeah.
Well, Nebraska and Bo Pelini. I'm looking at Nebraska bouncing back for revenge after their loss to Wisconsin. I think that Ohio State's defense looked respectable last weekend, and Bo Pelini's gonna be angry. It's at Nebraska. I think Nebraska will win. They might win big if Ohio State's defense fails to show up, but Nebraska's tough.
Yeah.
That's going to be a war because, you know, Bo Pelini played football for Ohio State.
Yeah.
So, and he and Fickell are real good friends,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think Bo's going to have any mercy. I think Nebraska will win.
Well, I think Nebraska, like you mentioned earlier, I think they still, this year's their mission, as it was most recently in the 90s when Penn State got in the Big Ten, they're still sort of the new member, and so they want to make a statement. And their first game in the Big Ten was a beating. I mean, they took an absolute beating. And so I still think, you know, if they lose two in a row, people are going to be saying, well, you know, you should have stayed where you were. I think Ohio State can't do anything but improve. If you would have told me that they were going to give up 10 points to Michigan State at home, I would have told you they win by at least 10 points, but they only scored 7. So I think their defense is pretty good. I think Nebraska is still pretty one-dimensional on offense. They rely a lot on their quarterback, not as much even to throw the ball, but to run the ball, Martinez. And I think Ohio State will figure out a way to stop that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's another 10-7 game. I think Nebraska's struggling a little bit on offense. Ohio State's obviously not very good on offense. So I think Nebraska wins, but I think it's like I said, 20-10, 10-7, 14-10. I'd be surprised if it's high scoring. And our last game, go ahead.
The problem with the Buckeyes is they could be very, very down. And Nebraska could be really, really high because they want to prove that they're capable of playing in the Big Ten. Now, unfortunate for them, their first game in the Big Ten was one of the best teams ever in the Big Ten. The Wisconsin team is no pansy. We agreed with that.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
I think Nebraska and Bo Pelini will be on a mission, and I hope Fickell could get the team up, but I don't know if he will or not. So I'm looking for Nebraska, maybe 21-7.
All right, and we got about a minute left in our final big game. Auburn, who lost to Clemson, and Arkansas, who lost to Alabama. So Auburn, Arkansas, how do you see that one?
Well, Trent Richardson will put himself more firmly in the Heisman race with a big win over Auburn. You know, Alabama lost by 1 point last year. There's no chance of that happening this year. Alabama will beat Auburn handily, without a doubt.
I think Arkansas wins. I think they win handily. Well, that brings us to a close of this segment of Rocco Fiume Football. Thanks again for joining us. Join us each week, 7 o'clock. We will talk to you next week after week 6. Everybody have a great week of college football.